Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
I say the word incarnation, not a word that we use very often. If I say immaculate conception, virgin birth, now, unless you're like me and you grew up Catholic, those phrases are not very familiar, but I did grow up Catholic, and so those phrases are familiar. And it's also familiar to me to pray the Hail Mary prayer. That, for those of you who are not Catholic, when I say Hail Mary, you immediately think an improbable pass at the end of the game, a long distance that probably only Aaron Rodgers completes because he's lucky. We don't like the Packers here, just as a general rule. But when I say Hail Mary, or when I say Immaculate Conception, or when I say Incarnation, unless you grew up with those words, it's easy to overlook those words and not really think deeply about them. As a matter of fact, when I said Immaculate Conception, some of you, because there are a few Pittsburgh fans here, is he going to talk about football the whole time? Probably. You thought of the Immaculate Reception. That's what I thought of when I was preparing this message, the Immaculate Reception, and so I looked it up online to watch it again. It was back in the 1900s, and Terry Bradshaw threw an improbable pass that deflected. I got grief last night because I guess there's some Oakland Raider fans that actually go here, but anyway, in the clip, the ball is rejected, and it's up in the air, and then Franco Harris, if you don't like football, you're not interested at all, but hang with me. Franco Harris just grabs the ball. It's a miracle catch, and he runs into the end zone, but as I was watching it, I was most interested in what the announcer was saying and how he was describing it. This is a really grainy, bad video quality, but I want you to listen to what the announcer says because I know you want to see this clip of football on Christmas Eve. So check this out and listen to what he says.
You talk about Christmas miracles. Here's the miracle of all miracles. Watch this one now. Bradshaw's lucky to even get rid of the ball. He shoots it out. Jack Tatum deflects it right into the hands of Harris, and he sets off, and the big 230-pound rookie slipped away from Warren and scored.
And he scores, and that poor guy, Franco Harris, has had to talk about that catch every day for the rest of his life, since that day until now. But here's what the announcer said. It's a Christmas miracle. It's a miracle of miracles. And I love sports, love watching sports. But I just want to tell you something you already know. There's nothing that's going to ever happen in sports that's going to be a miracle of miracles. But when we say incarnation, if we had to stack up all of the miracles that Jesus ever did, including his resurrection, I'm going to make a bold statement. The miracle of all miracles is the incarnation. God becoming a human being. God became a human being. This is the greatest of all miracles, because without this miracle, none of the other miracles can happen. Without the incarnation, there is no resurrection, there's no crucifixion, there's no salvation. And at just the right time, God became a human. How did he do that? I have no idea. John chapter 1 says it this way, in the beginning the Word already existed, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that is Jesus, and he was already with God in the beginning, and the Word became human and lived among us. It's a simple sentence. I like the way Eugene Peterson put it in the Message paraphrase. He said it this way, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that a better depiction of it? He moved into the neighborhood. You ever look out your window and you see the neighbors moving in and you judge them? No, you love them because you're from the Vineyard. You love, and you think, how can I bless them? And then you think, who are they? And, oh, what's the family and how many children are there? God becomes a human being and moves into the neighborhood. So I know what all the kids here are really excited about this service because two things. One, we're going to light fire at the end of the message, which is the only service that we get to do this. And hopefully you're old enough this year that you get to hold the candle all by yourself. And that's so exciting. And then you won't want to blow it out when it's done. And I know you're excited about that. The other reason you're excited is because you get to open gifts very soon, and some of your parents will cheat and allow you to open them early. We don't, because we're better than that. So what I'm going to do now is, just by way of illustration, I'm going to wrap this gift. I love the way presents look. I love going into the room and seeing all the presents under the tree. And what I want to talk to you just about, and I want to encourage every child who's here, while you're opening gifts this Christmas, at some point you're going to rip open a gift, and I want you to go back, and I want you to tell your parents as you're opening that gift, this reminds me of when Pastor Rob put that gift together. And I'm going to explain to you what you should then preach to your family while you're opening gifts. It's going to be a lot of fun. Jesus is the light of the world. God saw the world in all of its darkness, and he decided that he would save the world. The only way he could save the world was by coming and doing it himself. It was all his initiative. It had nothing to do with you and your ability. It was all him. He initiated it. And so he became a human being. So he didn't lose any of his divinity, nor did we lose any of our humanity. But he wrapped himself in his divinity. He wrapped himself in humanity. And so, just by way of illustration, I'll put that in there. You know, why didn't God just come out on the Mount of Olives, show himself, and in all of his power and all of his glory, and then just tell us that he's the king and just make some declaration that we would all be forgiven? He didn't do that. Why didn't Jesus just parachute in? Like he's like the 30-year-old Jesus. He wouldn't have to go through all of what he went through. He could just parachute in, come down, declare all of us free from sin. But he didn't do it that way either. As a matter of fact, he remained fully God and he was fully man. It's not like that Geico commercial. You know that Geico commercial where there's a guy who's half motorcycle and then half man? Seen that? Yeah, I know. There's always a guy in every service who wants to yell out the name of that, which is interesting and tells me you're my kind of people. Okay, but the guy's half motorcycle. He's not fully a motorcycle, and he's half man. He's not fully a man, and he's not fully a motorcycle. Bet you could work a Geico commercial into a Christmas Eve service. But God remained fully God and fully man. Why is that? One of the reasons my mom taught me how to wrap gifts, and it's really important. There's a person in your family who enjoys wrapping gifts. They would have labeled the kind of person that you are. There, that looks really good. There's a way that you've got to do this. How many of you are the gift wrapper in your family? The precise ones, yes. The annoying ones, the engineers probably in the family that get to wrap. I actually have a sick enjoyment of wrapping. And my mom taught me how, and it's got to be just right if you're going to do it properly. Because nothing's worse than a loose wrapping. God, in all his divinity, wrapped himself in humanity, becomes a human being. Arguably, of course, the greatest miracle, the greatest gift that's ever been given. Okay. That looks pretty good, actually. I'm quite pleased with that. Thank you. Not half God and half man, but fully God and fully man. Why? I'm going to describe it in a way that I hope you can understand. God, in his infinite divinity, cannot die. Man, in our sinless humanity, cannot overcome death. Are you following me? God, in his infinite divinity, can never die. And man, in our sinful humanity, cannot overcome death. So God is pleased to become man so that as man, he can die, but then as God, he can overcome death. The incarnation is the greatest, most amazing, that God would love us so much that he would see the only way that we could be reunited with him is that if he comes down and becomes one of us. Some of you moved from another place to move to Cincinnati, but none of you have gone as far as God to come to earth for us. Matter of fact, we need to remember that Jesus is Jewish. And he's prophesied about in the book of Genesis. And when he describes who he is, he starts with Moses. So that, and it was a surprise even in the New Testament, as many of you know, the Gentiles were surprised, the Jews were surprised that the Gentiles would even be allowed to get in on this salvation. Jesus said, salvation is from the Jews. So that Jesus, as a Jew, is the promised Messiah to the whole world. Some hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Isaiah says this in Isaiah 7, so the master's gonna give you a sign. Hundreds of years before Jesus, watch for this, a girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's one thing to say God with us. It's another thing to say God as us. God with us, incarnate. God as us. So what I'm hoping is that every child who's here right now and you're getting excited about opening presents, that when you open at least one of the presents that you open, you'll remind your parents that God wrapped himself up in humanity and became one of us. This is what we really celebrate at Christmas. This is the story that I want my children to hear year after year, to know that we really believe this, that God became a human being and he became a human in the form of Jesus. Colossians 1 says it this way, God was pleased to have all of himself live in Christ. God was also pleased to bring everything on earth and in heaven back to himself through Christ. This is the only way that it could happen. This isn't one of many plans that God could choose to do. How am I gonna save the world? I'll just, you know, A, B, C, D, you know, we'll just kind of pick one way. There is one way by which we could be saved, and it's that God would become a human being and become Jesus. The incarnation is more important than most of us think about on a day-to-day basis. It's the foundation of our salvation, that God becomes a human being. Hebrews chapter 2 says it this way, since all of these sons and daughters have flesh and blood, that's us, Jesus took on flesh and blood to be like them. He did this so that by dying, he would destroy the one who had power over death. So imagine this. An angel comes to you and says, could I borrow your womb? And what's the response to that? That is the story. That is what happened to Mary. An angel comes to her and says, this is what's going to happen. And her response is, I think what the Father wants from us. I mean, if the Father has prepared the best gift in the world for you, and he wants to present this gift to you, I mean, what thrills the Father's heart is that you receive that gift. And this is what the Father wants for all of us. And what did Mary say? Mary immediately said, I am your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. How beautiful is that receptivity to God's plan? So I've come to a place in my life, and I hope you have too, where you've actually said, this is way beyond some just religious idea. This is beyond just a tradition that we have. But this is actually personal. It's real. And I actually believe that Jesus came to the earth, that God became a human being. And I know what he wants from me is for me to say, I am your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. What's he saying? I like your plan. I love the fact that you sent your son. I rejoice in the fact that we need him, and so we receive him. And that's our prayer for you this holiday season, is that you'd experience his salvation and the joy of knowing him. What lengths God has gone to know us. So the question is simply, will you personally receive God's greatest gift? And I know you're here because most of you are saying, yes. This is what we're celebrating. This is the one we're singing about. What I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna close in a simple prayer. And I know most of us know the Lord, but if you're here and you need to make things right between you and the Father, you need to accept Jesus, you can simply on the inside pray this prayer as I'm praying it. And you can take part in the greatest miracle of all, God becoming one of us to save us. Would you bow your heads with me? So Father, we just thank you that we could come together and sing songs about you, and it's so great to celebrate Jesus together. And we're just so thankful that you came to the earth. God, you didn't have to do it. I don't know how you did it, but you're just so good and you love us. And so our hearts right now are just open to you. We say yes to you. We say yes to your plan. We say yes to Jesus. We say yes to him as our Savior. Lord, we know you needed to die on the cross for us. I don't want to rejoice in the fall of man, but without the fall of man, we'd never see Jesus. And I am so thankful for Jesus. We're so grateful. We want to live for you with our whole life, our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole strength. We want to give you everything. God, this past year hasn't been perfect, but we want to start the new year in a great relationship with you and trusting you. And so we do that now, Father. Just give you our heart and our life. We thank you, Father, for coming and being one of us. We declare our love and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? And would you grab the candle? This is the moment you've been waiting for. And there's going to be ushers that will come and light that. And if you'll help light the people's candle next to you, that'd be great.
All is calm, all is bright.
Would you hold your candle up if you can? We're celebrating together the light of the world, Jesus our Savior. And we always enjoy this time of year to have our family up here just to remind you that even though we're a big family, we are all one family. Our prayer for you is that you would experience the grace and love and mercy of Jesus in this season, that you'd really sense his presence in your home. We love you. Merry Christmas.
We love you.
Now go be a blessing to Cincinnati with those cookies.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.